the show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
Hey, we welcome you back. End of the week. We made it, folks. We did it. That's right. It's time to get going with another edition of Bucket Strategy Investing. We got money issues discussed, dissected, and resolved, we hope, right here. You got to take part in the program. I'm joined again today by Professor Rick Plum, Certified Financial Planner. I'm Johnny Dean. Plum is our Chief Brain Trust Advisor. We're going to start off the hour with a discussion on what's known as the accumulation phase and the, we'll call it the distribution phase. Some people call it the decumulation, but you have accumulation and the distribution phase of your financial life. Now, you probably know about the accumulation stage, right? It's where you work your whole life, you save up the cash that you need in order to stop working. But there is a second part of this, and it's all too often overlooked, and that is the distribution phase. You know how to put money in, but how do you take money out? The strategies for the two phases are certainly linked, but in many ways they are complete opposites. That's if you're doing it correctly. So we'll tell you all about that coming up in just a moment. We'll strategize with you, tell you what you need to know. Wealth education, best strategy advice you're going to find anywhere. In my opinion, it's all just ahead. And right now is your chance to call us with your money questions. Phone lines are open, 877-PLANNER, that's 877-752-6637. You can also email us here in the studio at wealthed.com. You look for the Find Your Answer link on the upper part of the page. Send us your question, and we'll answer it. We'll answer it right here on the show, live on the program. Got a lot of those to get to as well. Professor Rick Plum here again, courtesy of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Rick is a certified financial planner. Rick is our chief brain trust strategist, and he will remind you of this, as would I. You need to take advantage of the experience and the knowledge of the brain trust. These are the advisors who can look over your individual goals, help you design a plan that works for you and your own specific goals. Call them at Lucia Capital Group. Their phone number, 800-644-1150. Get a buckets plan that's tailored to meet your needs. Again, off air, the number at Lucia Capital Group, 800-644-1150. We thank them once again for bringing everybody this hour of the program. Our number here in the studio, 877-PLANNER, 877-752-6637. A lot of stuff to talk about, and including maybe not later this hour, but maybe next hour, a couple of leftover things from yesterday's discussion on Roth conversions. We had a lot of calls on that. In fact, it was almost the entire program that we wound up talking about it, because there's so many different ways you can go on that. But we'll cover that later on, if not this hour, then in another hour. Now, we got two things here, Professor Plum. You got two phases of your financial life. You got the one where you're building the portfolio, and then you got the other one that you're
living off of it.
Very few people.
We all look forward to it. We just don't tend to pay the same attention to it as we do when we're building the portfolio. Although there's a lot of people that are building a portfolio that pay no attention to it. They signed up for their 401k when they started with the job, and they haven't looked at it since. Now, that's both good and bad, depending upon the level that your savings, but accumulating wealth. John talked about the two phases, accumulation and distribution. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be retirement distribution. There are other reasons we distribute the assets that we've accumulated, but you have to have an accumulation side of the house to have a distribution side of the house, unless you inherit it. Now, not everybody's going to inherit money, so most people do need to at least look at some portion of accumulating wealth. And the rules and the techniques and the strategies for accumulating wealth are one set of rules, and they're different than the rules when you start distributing that wealth to yourself or to whatever cause it is that you need.
Yeah,
You have to be retirement. It could be college.
I've heard you mention, too, that there's a sort of an analogy of going up a hill and going down a hill.
Well, I was playing around with different analogies off the air to see if they would work.
This worked okay. Go ahead.
If you're going up a hill with a vehicle towing something, you want a lot of power. You want a lot of torque. You have a whole set of parameters you need to drive that force up the hill to accumulate that wealth. But once you get to the top of the hill, those same forces that helped you get to the top of the hill aren't necessarily required for going down the hill. You have a whole new set of rules. You need really good brakes, and you need to be able to stop a significant fast decline when you're coming down the other side of the hill. So having that big motor, big torque, big horsepower going up is required, but it's not so required on the other side. And so we need to be able to change gears, so to speak. Huh? Does that one work?
Yeah. Wow, I'm going to let you roll on this one. Change gears.
And let me roll.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, there's another one. Well, you're the guy who likes to tow things anyway.
I like horsepower, yes.
You're a happy guy if you got 500, 600, 2,000 pounds coming behind you.
Oh, please. Yeah, that's lightweight. Bring it on. Let's get some big stuff going. It's all about what is it that you're trying to accomplish and putting the appropriate techniques and strategies in place to achieve the goal. The first goal is to accumulate wealth. And what are the ways to accumulate wealth? Well, obviously, you got to save. So the auto enrollments in your 401k, when you enroll, automatic escalators. I really like the automatic. Can you tell this? I like automatic because if it's automatic, it tends to get done. If it's up to us to write a check at the end of the month, there's usually too much month compared to the budget. We end up shortchanging ourselves. However, if we have it taken out of our accounts, out of our checks, before we ever see it, somehow we make the checkbook work for the month. So always pushing the envelope on the way up, continuing to have money taken out systematically. Ooh, there might be something called dollar cost averaging involved. And while a good friend listener of the show the other day pointed out that dollar cost averaging does not guarantee a return, it does potentially help receive a return, especially over longer periods of time. And so that volatility that the market provides. And so there's lots of different rules for accumulating wealth. When you have very little wealth and you're just starting out, this is like the old adage that the person that has nothing to lose, there's nobody more truly free than somebody who has nothing to lose. If you're putting in $100 a month, you don't mind the significant volatility because you actually want that significant volatility. You'd like to see the market crash and go down, well, maybe not crash, but go down quite a bit so you can start buying in at a lower value, a continued lower value, and trying to accumulate as many shares, as many pieces of the pie as you can at a very low cost. And because if you have a long enough time horizon and it recovers, then you actually make some money. What you don't want as a 20-year-old is to see an increasing market that never goes back because you never had a chance to accumulate assets except for at an increasingly higher price. That's a completely different game for somebody on the other side of the fence who's actually starting to distribute assets. But in accumulating wealth, it's all about the discipline of saving. And then once we've got the discipline of having money taken out of our hands and put basically sent ahead for us by putting it into something else, something that we're not spending today. We're not immediately, basically immediate gratification. We're doing some type of a delayed gratification by putting it aside for the future, that rainy day fund, the Christmas fund, whatever you want to call it. Now we have a decision of, okay, how do we invest it? Or are we just going to save it? So there are lots of ways to deal with this. When we have very few assets, you're only going to be dealing with one or two investments. When we have larger amounts of assets, then now we're starting to get into more of a risk management style. At beginning, that volatility really helps us because we're continually putting money in on a systematic basis. But as we start accumulating wealth, and I'm not even talking about getting out to retirement, but once we have some money there, now we're worried about losing it. Now we've got something that we don't want to lose. So how do we then transition from don't care about the risk, let's just take it and go for roll the dice, to a more balanced type portfolio? Does that give a little foreshadowing there? Yeah, you want to then start spreading out the risk between the different types of asset classes. Now, it may be that you spread it out between different types of asset classes still within a stock or a mutual fund type of investment, and you don't go to the bonds and the other things that are even more conservative. But as you grow in your accounts, you're going to want to start safening up parts of it. The first step is diversification.
As you get into the distribution phase,
haven't even gotten to the distribution phase.
Right.
We're just getting up there in our values.
You're getting up there and you're getting yourself set up. And what you tend to read a lot is that as you get closer, all you really need to do is lessen your equity holdings and then increase your fixed income a little bit more. And in fact, it should be a measure of your age as you get older, how much more you should do so that eventually it balances out.
Well, it's not a measure of your age. It's a measure of your goals. Because if you're trying to achieve a goal of maybe paying for college, an expensive college for kids, that happens in many cases well before 60, 65. And so if it's happening at 45, then they're saying, if I've got college next year for this goal, and I'm 45 years old, 50 years old, then I should have 50 to 55% of my portfolio still in stocks. Well, that's not appropriate for the goal at hand. If the money needs to be spent next year and over the next 3, 4, 5 years, that is not the same type of goal where I can afford to have stocks. So we look at what is the time horizon for the goal and allocate appropriately. But as we get closer to the goal, most of the time we're talking about retirement. Retirement is at that 65-ish, give or take five or, years or so. Pulling back the reins makes sense, but how you do it is not just do the same thing all the time that everybody else does.
No, and now when we come back, we'll talk about the other side of this, which is the distribution phase, which is equally important as the accumulation phase, but which one is that, which very few people understand. All right, 877-PLANNER, you got a question on this or anything else? We're coming right back with more Bucket Strategy Investing. Talking about the different phases of your financial life. Bucket Strategy Investing, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, but anything that you want to talk about, you're welcome to call 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Lines are open right now, 877-752-6637. Tell us your money situation. Tell us what you're confused about. Tell us what you're concerned about. Are you going to make it to retirement? Are you concerned that maybe you're not doing the right Social Security filing strategy? All of that stuff and more we'll cover right here on that on this program. There's another way you can do it too, by the way, and that is in person. I'll remind you, once again, as we get very close to the next Lucia Capital Group Retirement Income Strategies Workshop, Saturday, February 20th, that's the next one in Las Vegas, Nevada. You can join the Brain Trust. Just go to wealthed.com, or you can call us here at 800-644-1150, but wealthed.com. It's free in Las Vegas. Join the Brain Trust. Learn all about these strategies that we talk about on this program, and learn them a little bit more in depth than with the time that we have here on the show. And you can also ask your questions afterward. Plenty of time to do that. So, Las Vegas, Saturday, February 20th. Seattle, Washington happens on the 27th of February. And then Saturday, March 12th, Phoenix, Arizona. There will be more after that. Las Vegas, Seattle, and Phoenix. Houston and Portland and a whole bunch of other places. So check wealthed.com. You can sign up for any and all of them right now. Just tell us you'd like to be there. It's free, as I said. Just bring your money questions. Once again, wealthed.com. Okay, our number in studio, 877-PLANNER. We've got room on the phones right now, 877-752-6637. So we were talking as you approach retirement, you've been accumulating assets. We're not there yet.
No, but most people believe and are well aware that they should pull back the reins.
Yeah, so you're not going to be doing a 90% stock allocation necessarily and a 10% fixed income allocation.
Yeah, right when you're at retirement or a year before, 2 years before. Most people get the concept that they should be, trying to manage risk a little bit. At least hopefully they are, as they get closer to retirement. That's where these target date funds kind of grew out of. Mm-hmm. So that there's somebody that they believe is doing it for them. Changing the allocation, going from a very high stock percentage to a more moderate and maybe even a high income percentage as you get closer to retirement. So whether you're doing it through a target date or whether you're doing it on your own, that is an appropriate way to do it. And so cut back, because you don't want that volatility. You don't want to retire into a 2008 and watch your portfolio go down by 30-40% in the first 2 years of retirement, because then it gets a little dicey. But what people fail to realize is that as they're pulling back the aggressiveness on their overall portfolio, which is the correct thing to do, if they continue to fund their new dollars into that 2020 target date or that target date fund that's coming down or the allocation that they've created that is more moderate or even income oriented in nature, which is not expecting to have as much volatility, good thing, right? They keep funding into that the same way. They keep the same allocation on their ongoing contributions as they do on the existing assets. Now, the existing assets, some of it may actually be in cash. They have 10% in cash, 30% in short duration funds, 10% in a moderate portfolio, and maybe 20, 30, 40% in the longer term growth portfolio. So they have the same allocation going in.
So for every...
So they're putting money into cash.
So for every $100 they've got, they're putting only 30% or 40% at this time into the growth portion, and they keep adding to their cash, and they keep adding to their stable value or whatever it is.
But the problem is, those don't give you, other than just true. I mean, saving in the wrong place, in a safe place, is better than not saving at all. But it doesn't help tremendously in your overall quest to accumulate wealth. And so what is one of the driving forces for accumulating wealth over time? And that is volatility, actually. When it's down, you buy a lot of shares. When it's up, you don't. So realistically, even though, yes, you should be allocating more money to the safer side, the portfolio allocation should becoming more moderate or even more conservative as you close in on your date of spending the money, your retirement date, the new contributions. Now, we're assuming retirement money, retirement that's going to last 10, 15, 20 years. New contributions should not have the same allocation as your existing portfolio. New contributions should continue to go to the more aggressive house. Even though you're not 25 anymore, those new contributions should, in many respects, be invested like you're 25. Because that portion of the money, you're not going to spend for a long time. That portion of the money has the 10, 15, 20-year time horizon that's necessary, or we hope is necessary, for a good return out of the potential market. So we want to take advantage. The only thing we have out there that we can actually use to our advantage on long-term holds is volatility. And the prayer, in history, we've never had a time where it hasn't recovered. And if 15 years from now, the market hasn't recovered and has continued to go down and down and down, the worst problem you have is not what happened to the dollar cost averaging money you put in. Everything else is in trouble too. So yeah, we want to be able to focus on what does help us. When we're managing risk, a broad diversification, which includes maybe some cash, some fixed account, stable value, and shorter duration. When we're accumulating, but that's on the overall, we're still accumulating money, but we're getting ready to spend it. But on the money we're saving right now, the money we're going to save in the future, the money we're not going to spend for a period of years, a long time, that still should be taking advantage of the volatility that the market gives us.
So this is the new money you're talking about putting it in. So let's say you've been putting, you've had a 90-10 stock to, let's just keep it simple, stock fixed income allocation. Okay. And you've been contributing 90 cents of every dollar. Well, no, that's really not what you've been doing. Okay.
You may have been doing it.
All right, well, let's say you have. 90 cents for every dollar has been stock and 10 cents for every dollar has been fixed income. You've been doing this all along.
And that's what you're doing in a target date fund.
Well, that is true. Now, let's say that your bucket strategy dictates that at this point you're in your 60s or you're close to retirement, that you should really pare back. You should maybe have a 60% stock and call it a 40%.
You want to become a more balanced investor. Right. Maybe you're 5, 8 years, 10 years out from retirement.
But what you're saying is that does not mean that now 60 cents of every dollar should go toward volatile, equities and stocks, and 40 cents for every dollar should go. You should still be putting 100% of every dollar just into that
volatile area. Yes, I believe that is the true statement. And that's why, while I don't think target dates are bad, I think they can be used, especially in 401k portfolios. I think they're used incorrectly a lot of the time. Somebody who's going to retire in the next 5 or 10 years is using a 2025 fund, but that's the only fund they have, and they're allocating their money into it. That fund is probably 50-50, 60-40 stock bond mix. So a lot of that money is going into the more conservative, more or less volatile areas of the short duration floating rate and some other types of funds where you're not getting any juice from the volatility over the next 6, 8, 10 years and beyond. So while I believe it's fine to use target date funds for use the long ones, the 2055s for the ongoing contribution, when you safen up, when you want to reallocate money, pull it off the volatile side, put it into, but don't continue to dollar cost average into something that has very little volatility or no volatility. That's not the best way over time, in my opinion, to accumulate wealth. And so we want to take at least a little bit of control. We can still use target date funds. We've been using the 2055, or we've been using the longest term fund we have. Now we're going to start pulling back. So we take 20% and put it into a 2025, but we don't contribute to that. We take existing capital. You safen up existing capital You dollar cost average into the volatility.
It's a very important point that he's making, and we'll try to reiterate what he's saying and explain this if you need it. 877-PLANNER, I hope you took note of that. 877-752-6637. Lines are open for you to ask your money question, whatever it is. Johnny Dean, Professor Plum, it's Bucket Strategy Investing. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, talking to you about your money. If you have any questions, certainly give us a call, 877-PLANNER. We're going to take some of your calls right now, 877-752-6637. I miss that.
What, the music?
Yeah, I just do. Yeah. Yeah.
This is not what I would consider the type of music you would like.
I know, but it just brings me back. Anyway, all right. Let's see. Oh, I had a question. I'll bring this up in a little while, Professor Plum, because I want to take some calls. But it has to do with you suggesting that perhaps somebody who's in their 60s, somebody who's about to retire, allocate all of their new money into, say, equities? All right. Well, hold on. We're not going to ask you that yet. We will in a little while. 877-PLANNER is our number. Still a couple of lines open. Jim is next up in Alexandria, Virginia. Jim, thanks for hanging on. How can we help you today?
Hi, gentlemen. Rick, I had a question about SEP IRAs that was prompted by a call yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm part of a partnership involved in commercial real estate rental, and I don't see anything in the rules that would prevent us from establishing a SEP. Would that be true? Or?
Well, on the partnership, generally when you have rental property, you're classifying it as passive income. You're showing it on.
Right.
And so
right.
Passive income does not support a retirement plan contribution.
Okay.
So there is no SEP available for that type of income. You have to have earned income. Basically, if you want to look at it this way, are you filing a Schedule SE, self-employment? What are you paying self-employment tax on? Nothing in this case.
Right.
And in that case, that means you're not getting a SEP contribution. So you would have to reclassify the income as business income, ordinary
okay,
business
rather
income.
Rather than passive income.
Pay Social Security taxes. And
right.
I am going to say that's probably not a good thing.
Right.
Because
right,
then you're
right.
going to pick up 15.3% tax so that you can get a tax deduction, which isn't
yeah.
going to save you forever because it's only a deferral of the tax.
Yeah, that wouldn't make sense.
Unfortunately, it does require earned income. And that's where people with even S-Corps have an issue. You know, they have a salary of $25,000, $30,000, but they get this S-Corp profit dividend of $100,000, and they want to put $20,000, $30,000 away in a retirement plan, a SEP. Well, they can't because their salary is the only thing that drives the retirement plan contribution. You have to have earned income. Passive income is not considered earned income for this project.
Right. Okay, now, I did look up the rules, and there was something, some IRS ruling a couple of years ago that said that if you are a partner, that somehow the IRS considered you an employee, and,
right.
and as such, employees can...
But they weren't talking about a rental activity. They were talking about a partner in a business.
Okay, that's, okay, fair enough. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Okay, thank you for the call, Jim. We've had this question before on SEP IRAs as well.
And a lot of people, there's a lot of advisors that say, well, let's take your rental properties and turn them into business income so that we can get a big defined benefit plan contribution, SEP contribution, whatever kind of retirement plan contribution. Remember, a retirement plan contribution, while it is deductible today, it potentially creates taxable income later. So it's only a deferment of the tax. And if I have to, if I go from a passive income where I am not paying self-employment tax into an ordinary a business income where I am paying self-employment tax, I have to pay 15.3% in self-employment tax to get that tax deferral. I better be in a really, really high bracket today and a really low bracket in the future to be able to make up the cost difference in taxes today between that passive income without Social Security tax and a business income with it. So it makes it very difficult.
Yeah, and as you said, the SEP is, you're going to be taxed on that money eventually. It's being deferred right now, but that's money you're going to have to be taxed on later on. You don't want to be paying it in the high bracket later on. If you're in the lower bracket, at least that helps, right?
It helps a lot, but are you going to be in a 15% lower bracket? Maybe. Maybe it makes sense for you in that respect. But
and that's to that's make it just wash
difference.
Out.
That's just a wash.
That's right. Okay, 877-PLANNER, we move along. We still have a couple of lines open, so fill them up while you can. 877-752-6637. Renda is next up in Atlanta, Georgia with a question. Hi, Renda.
Hi.
How can we help you today?
Hi. I was calling about two things. One, I have an investment. I have a couple of investments that I've owned for about 15 years, and a couple of them are worth like $100,000. And I was wondering, trying to get your advice on selling them, keeping the initial investment plus a little bit of principal, and then selling the rest. And the question about the like 29% taxable income, would you advise to go ahead and take the profit? My second question is about, you were talking about long-term care insurance and funding long-term care insurance, and I thought I understood you to say out of your IRA, and I'm very interested in that.
I would be interested too. Unfortunately, I don't know a way to really do a long-term care contract inside of an IRA.
Okay. What did you recommend then?
Well, there are some annuities now where the non-qualified annuities, where the appreciation, the growth in the annuity, we can use a 1035 exchange to a new annuity that also has long-term care riders on them and actually have a long-term care benefit. And the long-term care benefit coming out of one of these new types of variable annuities, or you know, fixed annuities for that matter, could potentially be tax-free. As far as using the IRA for long-term care expenses, there's no real provision in it. There is provisions, obviously, for avoiding the premature tax, the 59.5 or under tax, if we're using it for qualified medical expenses within certain parameters. But there's really no way to just use the IRA for long-term care at this point. I forgot what the first question was.
What was your first question, Renda?
Okay, the first question was, I have a couple of stocks that I've owned for a very long time that are worth like $100,000 profit. One has, I don't know, maybe $80,000 or $90,000.
Okay.
And I'm trying to get your advice on selling them, taking my profits now while the market's up, and just keeping the principal plus maybe what percentage of...
Well, I would want to look at it as an overall piece of the pie. Does this stock create the majority of your investment portfolio? If, you know, this...
No, not at all, no.
Well, then you would look at it as, you know, should I be selling this stock because I have too high of a concentration in it? You just said no. Should I be selling this stock because I don't believe in it anymore, then that's up to you. Should I sell this stock because it's exceeded every expectation I ever had for it, and therefore I should want to take some of my profits? There's nothing wrong with taking some profits and then paying some taxes on it. I know that, you know, selling some profits off, it can be very gratifying to, you know, put in some money, watch it grow, and then take enough out to equal what you put into it or some other amount. So basically, you're working off the house's money, and there's an emotional thing that says, when I lose my money, it really stinks. When I lose the house's money, it doesn't hurt as much. But that's an emotional game. I would want somebody who can look at your portfolio as an overall to see, are you in the right, you know, balances of, you know, safe, moderate, aggressive money, and is this stock an appropriate stock to hold? I am not going to give you advice on when to buy or sell a stock because I don't know what stock you're talking about, and I don't want to know. And the other side is, even if I did know, you don't want to take the advice from me
or anyone else for that matter.
Well, I mean, at least talk to somebody who can look at it in relation to the rest of the portfolio. Is she adding anything to the portfolio with this stock? Does it have a different risk characteristic than the other things so that she can moderate out her risk? Or is it the same as everything she's everything else she's got in the portfolio, and then it's just a matter of should we pare back on everything? I would want somebody to take a much deeper look into that portfolio than I can do at any time, because I'm not a certified financial analyst, but also just more than I can do on the air right here.
Maybe I didn't make my question clear enough. Here's what I'm thinking. I think we should take profits out of this investment.
Okay.
And then I get the idea. Yeah, but if we sell it, we'll have to pay taxes. But
well,
my thought was, we'll have to pay taxes, but if the market goes down, you know, we'll lose it anyway. So why not?
Exactly.
You know, why not at least.
Brenda, there's only two ways. There's only two ways to avoid paying taxes. One is to lose the gain. That's not good. The other is to die. That's worse. So I don't have a problem selling stock to take profit. I mean, so if you think that this is a good time to take the profit off the table, sure, you're going to pay some taxes. That's better than losing the profit.
And you're right. We were talking about that the other day. It could go down. Renda, I got to take a break. If you have some more questions or need clarification, hold on. 877-PLANNER, our number. It's Bucket Strategy Investing. In the guitar leaks today, man. I tell you what, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, you can do this on a Friday. You know, you get a little looser on a Friday, talk about the music a little bit. People are in a good mood. Oh, by the way, I guess I should mention this too. This being a Friday, some people are off today, but we will not be here live on Monday. There'll be a show, but because of President's Day, everything's closed up, and thus we won't be doing a show for President's Day on Monday. So you'll get something, you know, that you may have heard before. But I'll tell you what, it was really good stuff. And I'm sure it's something you're saying, I'd love to hear that again. So that'll be coming up on Monday on this program. That's just a heads up. Programming note. Also, a quick programming note. Again, I want to remind you that February 20th, which is like a little over a week away now. In fact, it's a week from Saturday, a week from tomorrow. The Brain Trust is going to be in Las Vegas. You can join the Brain Trust if you're in Las Vegas or anywhere in the state of Nevada. Join them next Saturday, February 20th at the Renaissance Hotel. You go to wealthed.com to sign up. It's all free. Learn all about retirement income strategies with the Lucia Capital Group Retirement Income Strategies Workshops. Meet Professor Plum and Terry Keyes and the others. Seattle, Washington happens after that, Feb 27, and Phoenix is after that in March on the 12th. More to come. Check wealthed.com. Sign up there, wealthed.com. We would love, and I mean that, we would love to see everyone there. All right, back to the phone lines. 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. Chris is up next in Decatur, Georgia. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Fine, thank you. I was wondering, I'm trying to dance all around this question without, because I know you can't, you're not going to say you can't time the market, but I've been holding on to gold for the last 4 years.
Ouch.
Yeah, really. And yesterday was finally like a day of vindication, and it was up 4%, I think. And I was thinking, you know, for 4 years of holding on to it, I want a little bit more than that. But I did take a few shares, and I sold them, and I bought some Amazon, which would help. Which I just was wondering, what do you – I keep expecting that big – $1 trillion creation of money that our dear president made to just tank the stock market, and I've been betting that it'll happen. What do you think about conditions? I'd love to ask you to forecast, but I know I'm going to get nowhere with that. But what do you think about the conditions?
I don't think that gold has a whole lot of it used to be that gold was very much part of the currency, but it's not part of the currency anymore. It's not tied to it anymore. I don't have, you know, obviously a crystal ball. You're right. I can't make a forecast. But gold has never been a long-term good play. It tends to, over long periods of time, so far in history, we don't know what the future holds, but so far in history, over long periods of time, gold has done about what inflation has done, not much more. And unlike a stock where you may be able to get a dividend while you're waiting, there is no dividend with gold. It is just an asset that kind of sits there. When it does move, it tends to move fairly sharply, both on the upside and the downside. And so, unfortunately, people believe that this gold is going to save them from a recession. It's going to save them from everything that possibly could happen. And if the world goes to heck in a handbasket, having gold is going to be the answer to everybody's problems. But the reality is, you know, you're talking about having a stock of gold, right? You've got some kind of like USO or something. Not USO, that's oil.
IAU.
Yeah, so you don't actually own the gold. You own an asset that owns the gold, so you don't own gold. You have a return that is based on gold. And that's the way it is with people that have their gold in their IRAs. They don't actually, unless you own the wafers and things, but even then, are you going to go to the grocery store with a gold wafer, a gold bar, and kind of scrape off a piece to buy the bread? It's difficult for that to happen. Now, that doesn't mean I don't think gold has a doesn't have a place in a portfolio. I just don't like getting carried away with it. Having a 4 or 5%, you know, allocation to precious metals in my growth portfolio, because what happens is when it does move, it tends to move fairly well, and it helps hedge the rest of the portfolio. As we've seen in the last couple of weeks, you know, gold is up about 10% from the low of a couple of weeks ago. Market's down about 10% or more from the highs of a couple, you know, months ago. So they've been working a little bit in opposite directions. But it's more of a timing play. It's a feel-good play. Don't get carried away with it. When you buy it, figure out what it is, why you're buying it, and how long you're going to hold it. In many places, it shouldn't matter. I'm going to have 5% gold, and I'm going to hold it forever as a hedge in my portfolio. So I don't know when the best time to sell it is. I mean, you're down from where you paid for it 4 years ago, I would imagine.
Not as of yesterday. Yesterday, I saw a little profit.
But, oh, okay.
But I was thinking, you know how it is, you know, what I think it, what the saying is, but pigs get slaughtered. So if you get greedy and you become a pig, you get slaughtered. And I was waiting for it to go a little higher than it had been. And I was wanting you to gaze into your crystal ball and tell me whether you think the market's going to tank or is going to.
It's either going to tank or it's going to recover. I wish I could tell you for sure when. You know, there are going to be good days and bad days in the market. There's going to be good days and bad days in the oil market. There's going to be good days and bad days in the gold market. I just don't buy into the hype that gold is going to be 3,000 an ounce in the next couple of days.
Yeah, that's put forth mostly by people who have a lot of gold that they want to sell you, or gold stock or whatever. You know, there's a reason for people who do that. It's, you know, gold is the answer to everything. There are people who sell only insurance policies, and they'll tell you insurance is the answer to everything. So,
As long as it's not a huge portion of your portfolio, I'm not too worried about it. But if it's, you know, 10, I've seen people with 30, 40, 50% of their money in gold, and they bought it 8, 9 years ago when it was $1,800 an ounce, and it hasn't done much for them.
Yeah.
Right.
Does that help you out, Chris? I don't know if it did.
Yes, it does. Thanks
a
lot.
Well, that's just our opinion.
Good luck, Chris.
Thank you for the call, Chris. Yeah, and, you know, if you bought gold in 1980, at $400 an ounce, when it seemed like it was, you know, that was the top of the top, and you held on to it for the last 6 years?
Yeah.
You still didn't do much better than the rate of inflation, did you?
If you bought it in the late 90s and held it for about 10 years, that was a great 10 years in the gold market, through the Y2K and then through some of the downturns in the market. But if you bought it in 1980 and held it through 1997, 1998, you basically earned nothing for that period of time.
It did absolutely nothing, for a good 20 years there.
And when it moves, it tends to move. It moves pretty quickly.
Well, and I think it moves quickly because people sort of get on this sort of bandwagon.
We get fearful of things, and the more fear we have, the more we clamor to gold.
Why, I don't know. I mean, are you supposed to, you know, when the world goes down, you're supposed to just be able to trade gold bars for,
ammunition,
canteens of water or something? I don't understand that. But, you know,
In a post-apocalyptic economy, I think the people with the lead is going to have more advantage than the people with the gold.
All right. Well, you heard it here first, and you may have heard it elsewhere. I don't know. That's the answer. Okay, we got another hour still to come. If you need the brain trust off the air, if you have a question, you can call the advisors at Lucia Capital Group, 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. Yes, another hour is just ahead. More to come of Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.